Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and Jojo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and Jojo Rose starts now.
Aloha and welcome. You are tuned in to Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul. Today, are you ready to inquire within? Renewal, regeneration, refreshment. The spotlight shines on love in action. One tiny act changes a whole life. Turn on the light. Let the love glow. See what is hidden in the dark. Turn, turn, turn. Allow movement in the turning and watch what happens. Be at peace. I'm Jojo Rose.
I am Julio Rose. And today's topic is really Inquire Within. I was living with Anne, we woke in the morning and we both had been called to be present for a young man who lived on the same property, and to write a poem for him, invite him to dinner. And so we said, okay, let's do it. And we did. And he said, sure. So when he showed up, we had flowers on the table and it was really festive, and we had his poem, but we weren't giving it to him immediately. And he said, how did you know? And we said, know what, Charlie? He said, how did you know? And we said, well, what is it that we are supposed to know? And he said, well, he seemed a little dumbfounded and couldn't find his voice. And it was a real happening, because turned out that his fiance had broken up with him a few days previous to us knowing that he needed some tender, loving care. And we didn't really know him well. We had probably talked to him two or three times outside. But this was very different. And we sat down to eat, and Anne said, you can tell us after we eat. So it was a feast and we were all enjoying it. So that was easy for him to wait. And so he didn't tell us much other than that he was brokenhearted and just so upset. I could tell he was breathing deep and very content that we had cared and he felt loved. And so and then Jojo lived in Boston at the time, and she called because she had just had a birthday, and I had sent her a denim suit that was an aqua color though, that I had made and embroidered the oak, and it had long sleeves, and I had embroidered
the right leg. Yeah.
And she was calling to thank me. She had just received it. So as she's telling me that, and we're saying I love you, and off the phone, Charlie was getting ready to leave. Anne had given him the poems, and he had sat quietly to read them while we were on the phone. And Anne had already cleared the table and was doing dishes. And Charlie said, I'm going to go now. He came to the kitchen. I was there with her too. And he said, but I'll be coming to see you later. I could tell, and Anne, both of us could tell that he was overloaded with love, that he had to go away to let it kind of be absorbed. And
wasn't one of the important connections when he was there at dinner was his grandmother? And
right. Anne spoke to him about that we had
if I remember, he felt the love, and because you and Anne both woke up in the morning knowing you needed to gift this to him but hadn't talked about it until the morning, he put together how his grandmother was with him, and that she always knew.
Yeah.
She always knew when he needed something.
Yeah.
And she would say that it came from God. Like, yeah, God let her know.
Yeah.
And so that's the love he was feeling, that you had both, he put together that it's, yeah, God's love.
Yeah. Yeah. And he realized that what he told Anne, because she was more of a grandmother figure. She was older than both of us. And he said, you're saying things like my grandmother said them. And she, she was. And he just felt that that was his grandmother. So he thought it was just her, which, yeah, often happens in families.
Yeah.
But he realized that, no, it was God. It was what she said. Because here we were, you know, and he knew it. He knew his love. So that's when he had left. You're right. That I, yeah, thank you.
Yes.
And so we went on with what our lives were. And a couple days later, Charlie came. He was a law enforcement officer, and he came to the door with his gun, and it was holstered. As he came in, he, 6 feet three of him, you know, he's a tall guy, and he said, I need help. And he sat on the sofa, and we said, well, you came to the right place. And so he told us that he had a call. He had to go for a domestic violence call, and that he had already been there previously and knew that the man was very dangerous. And he didn't want to kill or be killed. And he wanted to know what could he do that would be different from anything maybe he'd done beforehand. And so one of us said, well, did you pray, Charlie? He said, I don't have much confidence in my prayers. And I said, well, Charlie, if it's a ray of light moved by love, it works. But if it's just repetitive words that have no feeling, they have no meaning either. He said, well, when you say that, I'm putting on the whole armor of God. And I said, okay, that's your response. That's the prayer. So claim it and accept it and realize that it's real. Mm-hmm. And so Anne said, I always say, not by power nor by might, but by thy Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And right away, Charlie said, that's what my grandmother always said. He said, oh, I feel so much better. I think I can go and I come what may, I'm going. And so Anne and I said, please, we called after him to please come back and let us know how it all went. He said, I will. So 2 hours later, he came. Oh, and he said, can't forget this one. He said, I'm so magnetic and electric. He said, you two are powerhouses. And he felt very ready. That's what made him feel ready.
Yeah.
So he went out the door. Well, when he came back, He looked so different. Mm. And his 6'3", he looked like he got taller and brighter and just different. And he said that he sat down. He said, I arrived there, and as I was walking up the steps, the man was on the landing at the top of the stairs. And I was really walking deliberately up the stairs, and he noticed that as he went up, he was feeling love for the man, and the man was so angry, and he watched the anger dissolve as he, and it gave him a deeper resolve that this would all work. When he reached the landing, they talked just for a couple of minutes, and the man reached out his hand, which surprised Charlie, to shake hands with him and said, you're one of the good ones. And Charlie immediately knew what he meant. And so he left and felt like a totally new person because it was so real and tangible, and the man felt it and he felt it.
Yeah.
And that inquiry was wow, because he came saying he needed something, and that was his inquiry.
Yeah.
And so when he left, he said that he wanted this life always. He really needed to live this way always, that he saw that he really didn't need a gun, you know, or he could, love was really important. And so, of course, there would be, anyway, so after he left, Ann and I were recalling how, maybe a month or two previously, we walked all the time, Ann and I. We just walked and talked because we were always receiving such wonder about our universe and our galaxy and the cosmos. And so we went out to walk, and Charlie had this beautiful
German Shepherd.
Yeah, German Shepherd. But he was baring his teeth at us, and Charlie had to hold the leash so tight to keep him from coming after us. And Anne said to him, Charlie, why do you have this dog? And he said, well, I intend to keep it. And she said, why? He said, because I want to scare everybody. And so she just said, I think you should take that dog back where you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he did, because we never saw the dog again. But I know what ran through her and me at the same time was that we walk every day and we wouldn't be able to if he kept that dog at the house. And it really was not a happy dog with a happy vibration. But it was so cool because now he had come and he learned to go from a dog to God, I guess. To trust in something different from what he had intended. And that was the language of the time very often. So and he and Anne were from the South. And so it was a commonplace way to speak.
Yes.
The scriptures, using the scriptures. Mm-hmm. But it made the point. It made it work.
Yes.
And who was to argue with that?
That's right. Wow.
So it was very powerful because just from that happening, he really knew something very different from anything he had known before. Because as he said, his grandmother was the one, so he didn't take her seriously, or somehow it didn't have the meaning to him that it could have had. And all of a sudden, he got the meaning because he needed it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's what changes everything.
Yes.
When people really know they need
it,
what has been shown to them, and they find... That was a powerful happening. He just was beyond anything he'd ever known before.
Yeah.
And feeling the magnetic, really is electromagnetic. I love the way he called it. So that was a happening with Charlie, and he lived on the property. And the interesting part of this is that there had been other law enforcement people who had lived in the mansion, because we lived on an 82-acre estate. So there was a lot of it was in orange groves. Mm-hmm. It was because of the place was sandwiched between Banana River and the Indian River. And of course, Indian River fruit is known for the goodness, because oranges need to have a cold spell to get sweet. And we always had a cold spell in the winter that accommodated that. So they were excellent, sweet oranges. Mm-hmm. And we used them and enjoyed eating them too. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of a bird sanctuary, and there were many peacocks on the property. They were just beautiful with their feathers that they would lift and rattle, mm-hmm. vibrate for their, you know, mate, and just magnificent animals. And there were swans in the little man-made pond, and ducks, and an aviary with macaws. And there were also flamingo. And from being there, I learned that flamingos are pink because they eat shrimp. And so that was all news to me. But yeah, it was big. So we walked a lot. And where the mansion was, there were bricks lining the little area there. And then the rest of the grounds were dirt. And I loved it. It was so wonderful to walk on dirt. Mm. It was so restful for the whole body. And it's rare to find any place you can walk except in the woods,
yeah,
on a trail or something. So it was really wonderful. And we lived in a cottage that was across from the mansion. So obviously the people who owned it, who lived in Miami, wanted law enforcement to ensure that the house was, everything was safe on the property. So they had been some people, and then another couple, and then Charlie. And I realized the stories they were telling about Anne and I. She was not very happy to learn about it, so I didn't say much. And when Charlie came, he heard the stories from the two different couples that had lived there. And, you know, I learned long ago that when people don't know you, they make up stories about you. Mm-hmm. And it's the way life is, I guess, when there's judgment as yes. the ruler of the life. Mm-hmm. And so Charlie, having heard the stories, wanted to find out if it was true. He didn't ask us. He turned the intercom on in our apartment so he could listen in the mansion to what we were saying, yeah. and learn whether or not the stories were true. And so he did learn, and mm-hmm. the stories were not true. And he did tell us and apologized yeah. for, I guess you would call it, the surveillance.
Yes.
He was, what would you say, a researcher. Anyway, we were fine about it at that time. You know, it was, anyway, so he learned. But I always appreciate that people want to know. Mm-hmm. My brother came to find out too, because he heard horrible stories, and he came and visited us and wanted to know. And we didn't tell him anything other than he got to see how we lived and yeah. how we were, and he knew.
Yeah,
he knew better. He knew none of the stories were true. And that's always the best, you know, to have somebody who really wants to know.
Yes.
I think we all need that sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference when someone cares that much
yeah.
to want to know and yeah. to be willing to.
Yeah.
either ask, or in Charlie's case, he did what he did, but then he admitted to what he did and apologized. Yeah. And, you know,
yeah,
a little bit different in both cases, but nonetheless, it's.
Yeah. And I think Anne learned that what I had received about the first couple and the second couple was true.
Yeah.
Because he said exactly what I had told her. Because I felt it in the air, you know.
Yes.
It was so present in the air. So, yeah, it was fun. There's always something going on no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing.
That's life. So true.
Yeah, it is.
But Charlie's story is, or the happening with Charlie is very full. And it was, it had that feeling of immediacy because of his need. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The need was really deep and he needed help right now because he was getting ready to go out on that call and he knew.
Yeah. And the beauty of it was what happened.
Yes.
And he learned the difference. And
yeah,
what
sure
he said actually was, what I found out was that human connection is far more important than anything.
Yeah.
Because he felt that connection with the man.
Yes.
And the man felt it with him, which was, you know, unknown and it didn't happen that way in most places in Florida. So it was brand new to Charlie and to the man.
Yeah.
Both of them. And it was good. Yeah. So.
Love in action.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
It's love in action.
And it was that one tiny act
that
changed Charlie's life.
Yes.
And he got a new girlfriend. I don't know how long after, you know, the breakup, but she was a love and her little girl was so adorable. So they both lived there, and it was so fun to see a little girl on the grounds again.
Yes.
Because it was, you know, she could have a lot of fun running around and playing. And there were so many birds and attractive, you know, and the woman who had owned the mansion was, she loved hibiscus. And she decided to make it a showcase of hibiscus.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew quite tall there. And so there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
And there was a stable where one time there were horses. And it was quite a, it was a lot of people in the area called it a white elephant because it was not a usual kind of mansion. It was very different because she had traveled all over the world.
Yes.
But anyway, in the beginning, when we first went there, there were a lot of us, and we went for coffee and donuts. Benny came, and we talked with Robert, who was there at the time, and Anne. And it turned out there were people from all different parts of the island, close.
Yeah.
I mean, not the island, the area.
The area.
They were close, but we didn't, they weren't where we lived. And so we were. We were saying that we thought that there was a wall up.
Oh boy!
Outside the hacienda, and Ann and Robert said, "No, there's no wall there." And we all looked at each other incredulously and said, "Oh, but Ann and Robert, there is a wall there. Come on, they live there. I mean, they knew differently." But we each said, "Every time we drive by here, we see the wall." And we came in here and we still saw the wall.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? They said, okay, and follow us. Come with us. We'll show you. So sure enough, we walked to the gate. There were two gates. And we walked to the one closest to where we were at the pool house. And sure enough, the way that it had been built was to make it look like it was a wall. And there was a like a pillar, and then there were bricks coming down in such a fashion that it would look like it was going on and becoming a wall. But I think the woman who lived there had a very powerful mind.
Yes.
And she didn't want anybody coming onto that property. She used to ride horseback, and they said she rode with a shotgun. I have no idea. I don't really shouldn't be telling that story. It's a story. But in any event, she sure did create that wall with her mind, because we all saw it.
Yeah.
We were very sure it was there. So we found out it wasn't.
Yes.
So during the time, you know, it was like the people began to dwindle and not come back, and ended up being Carolyn and Robert and Ann and I and the two children. And then Robert, and this was before I lived there, Robert left, and then Ann and I studied. Carolyn stayed a little while longer, but Ann and I studied every day, and Gina was always with us.
Yes.
And then we went to live there, and of course Gina went home with you all.
Yes.
And so that was, you know, a very...
Yeah. And you had a full life.
Yeah. Yeah. The interesting thing is the work we were in seemed to call people to us, because they'd come, you know, to get healed in whatever way that was.
Yes.
It was always deeper healing, a healing of their thoughts and feelings and ideas and oftentimes actions. And they really, some, you know, it depended on the people as to what they needed.
Right. Yes.
And we were, you know, it was... We were learning all these things, and we both had families beforehand, so we knew what they were undergoing, and it was beautiful what happened with each of them. And
it is beautiful.
But inquiry really is what brought them.
Yes.
Yeah, and there was actually one young woman who came who said she saw a light and she just had to come.
Yeah.
And so she was an opera singer, young, but her diaphragm was as hard as a rock. She wanted us to punch her. We wouldn't. She was quite upset about it, but not really. But she was lovely, and we talked, and she just wanted to know who lived there, that, you know.
Wow.
So it was kind of helpful to us that someone felt that way.
She was guided right to you.
Yep. Yes. And she came a few times. She never stayed long.
Yeah.
But she came, and it was fun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Yeah. We met all ages, shapes and sizes and colors, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was like the park, you know, like where we were. And so many people, and truly inquiring within is so part of any one of us who self-reflect. So it does call for self-reflection to be able to inquire within, and usually we discover or uncover from the soul rhythm a need need that's deep inside of us that shows up through our life, because it usually does. And that's the best gauge when it shows up in your life. I always talk about show and tell, because truly that is how it all works. It shows up, and then we get told what it is.
Yes.
And then we see things happen that are very beautiful.
Yeah, and when the inquirer within is deep, we are always responded to.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, sometimes it's a need that doesn't feel deep. It feels like it's just been there.
Yeah.
And someone just is all of a sudden knowing that they need to unload, you know, they need to ask, they need to seek. Because often we get answered within.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't also get called to speak with other people. It's both and, usually, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
So if any of you have inquiry, please, please be aware that it's important. If you have something within that you are needing to understand better for yourself, mm-hmm. it's important that you acknowledge it, mm-hmm. recognize it, and be with it.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break. But before we do that, we want to invite you to call in with an inquiry that you may have. You can call at 1-800-930-2819. Again, that's 1-800-930-2819. We'd love to hear an inquiry that you have. On the other side of the break, we'll see you soon.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. We have got talk radio for all of us.
Really, thank you for blazing the trail for women in talk radio and just being such an inspiration to me and so many other people. What you're doing is so awesome. And, you know, without people like you there to, like, really step out of the box and go for it, I don't know if someone like me would have ever ended up here, but I'm so happy to be here. And, yeah, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. You're one of my major inspirations.
Do you want to come back to yourself? To come back to your own power? To come back to your dreams? Dr. Tassel Shanebrook will help you utilize transformational mindset and energy techniques to superpower your conscious and subconscious mind so you can be your own hero. Enjoy the relationship of your dreams, your best feeling body, financial abundance, free time, and ease. You are the one you have been seeking. Visit drtassel.com to find out more.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Welcome. You are listening into Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul. And before the break, we were speaking on inquiry and inquiring within and the importance of that in our life, in our soul rhythm, in the way that we show up.
Yes.
How we speak, the way we act, all of it.
Well, inquire within really does have to do with possibly a need that's beyond some of that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's been with somebody for any one of you for a while, and you kind of wanted to feel it more inside. And sometimes there's an inquiry that's necessary out loud to someone else. So it's definitely what we're good at, and we're open and willing to listen.
Yes, we are.
So call if you feel so moved, and I hope you do.
If you need the number again, it's 1-800-930-2819. Yeah.
So have you had any big inquiries recently?
I think my big one now is to be congruent in my life everywhere. And, you know, I can, the good thing with that is now I can feel when something is a little bit not how it needs to be. And that always makes me inquire within to find out what is it I'm feeling that I can't articulate yet. And when I go into the inquiry, I always seem to get some kind of response.
Yeah.
And so now it's because I'm learning this life in spacious unknowing. Now I feel more a calling or an inquiry for ensuring that everything in my life is congruent and what would be another word? Flowing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely that in the mix.
Yes.
Yeah, and that flow is so important for our lives.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, when we think about, you know, science now is finding so much about the zero-point field and the gravity and harnessing gravity for use in lighting up cities and the world, and very different way to live and focus and be from what has been in our world. So there's a lot going on, not only inwardly, where people realize that carrying light inside. It's seen by doctors, by many people who do work with other beings. And so we have light inside and a lot of it that is available to us. We just need to learn the way to tap in.
Yes.
And the zero-point field and the harnessing of gravity is very much what Spacious Unknowing Network is about for our inner life. And so it's so interesting how they all now intersect.
Yes.
And this has been my life, all my life. Mm-hmm. And yet now science is actually being, right now a paper has been written that is by Nassim Harriman, and he's with the Resonance Science Academy. It's always.org if any of you want to find him. He's a beautiful human being who has been working on the science of this for 30 years, and it's all been put together with a team of his, and they are going to be putting the pieces of it out to laymen, to all of us, so that we understand better what it's all about. And I love it because he's really speaking of everything that I have learned. And it's so nice to hear it from other people. And it's just a joy, actually, to hear it from other people. And so there are many people on our planet today who understand all of this.
Yeah.
And it's heartening because we have to seek them out.
Yeah.
Because they're not running around on the street yelling from the rooftops. They're just, you know, we have to find them, or they find us, or something that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun listening to Nassim.
Oh,
he's so childlike and joyful, and I know that what he has learned and put into a paper and all the equations and everything coming together for him, I know it's been his life work. But it's such a joy to listen to him and understand the science and how it all, it's not just the science, it really is a way of life.
Yeah.
And connecting it that way, bringing it together that way.
Yeah, and he was able to bring it together because he lives from within.
Yes.
And it corresponds totally.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, grand way for him to express it, because he does. And using Einstein and his equations, and really giving much more power to Einstein's equations that were lost or were not used because it hadn't yet happened.
Right.
Nobody had seen the dark holes he was speaking of, singularity. So it was unknown in that time frame where he lived. And he had it all. He had the unified field, not a full equations like Nassim has now, but definitely Nassim used a lot of his work with his own, and so many of the scientists, like all other things, were misunderstood, and there was misinformation written about them because we didn't have the capability to show things in a full rounded orb, or, you know, have people understand science from how they could show it to them.
Yes.
And now, of course, it's really easy through the web and the way people can create some of what happens in our universe. But
Well, you described it so well that, you know, when you were going to school, it was just on the flat piece of paper. So it was, it's hard to understand when it's, because science.
Well, that's where the flat earth came from.
I mean, come on.
Okay.
Because everything looks flat on paper.
Yeah, it does.
Of course, it never was, but
no,
it really, you know, some people can look at the moon or sun and think it's flat. And of course, it's very so filled with energy, and you can see all that energy coming out of it.
Yeah, you can.
If you really can see.
Yeah.
And and it's definitely an orbit or a full scale.
Yes.
So, yeah, we can see that much better now.
Yeah, we can.
With people, you know, in understanding what people undergo in this world, in this life, and the way things have shifted, it's all an opportunity, though, for people to turn within and seek to understand themselves better and the world around them better. And the the whole universe better, really. Galaxies. I mean, there's so much information now.
Yeah, there is.
It's hard to miss any of it because it's all here now.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's wonderful to find new information and find out different things. And that often brings inquiry as well.
It does.
The need to understand deeper and then bring it and make it real in our life in a tangible way.
Well, quantum entanglement, it makes it real for a lot of people that we may never meet.
Yeah.
But each one of us who change, it ripples through the field, sends waves through the field. So we're not alone in this universe, that's for sure.
No, we are not.
So that's also the beauty, you know, I call it excruciatingly beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. It is.
So are any of you going to be brave enough to inquire within? Just call us or send a text or something. Chat.
Anyone?
This is a momentary, quiet, breathing space for everyone. We like to breathe.
Breathing is good. Yeah, breathing is life. Well,
You know, when Ann and I first came together after we were consumed by the light, we were given inquiry every day, and it was so profoundly given a question that we really had to, I say, we went around the periphery, we brought it out this big, you know, and then brought it back in. We knew we needed a truth right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And we would receive a truth, very simple, maybe a word or two, and then given another question. And so this went on for days, and I called it inquiry, out query, above query, underneath query. It was everywhere inquiry. And it seemed that all of it connected with death and life. And it was always very real about people wanting to kill off the body. And it seemed so harsh. And we went through the study of it with the inquiry and what we did with it. And everybody that came to the Hacienda for healing was afraid of death. Everything we had been in for the inquiry, and it went, it had no expiration date, you know, it was in continuum.
Yeah.
And we recognized how well prepared we were to be with them and take them from any kind of fear of death into an awareness that they had to come into themselves to really ground it and land it and live in it. And from it, each one of them came to understand that they weren't only afraid of death, they were actually afraid of life too. And they really never dreamed that there was that connection until they did this inner work and learned it. And it was very real to them then because they were experiencing things in their life that they didn't understand because of their mix-up of death and life.
Yeah.
And each of them became so much more profoundly present in their lives because they were no longer afraid of death.
Yeah.
And they had different ways to use their interior soul rhythm and allow it to really be present for them and available to them and lived a very different life. But that was the main issue with all of them. There wasn't one who came who didn't have that. And so we were so well prepared. And that's really it. That's how this life works. I really can testify to that because of my whole life, I was always prepared for what showed up that was in need of great care and love and attention and affection and all of it. And that's something that is, preparation is needed.
Yeah, it is.
And it really does assist us in it. A lot of people would say it's brave, and so there are words to put on it, but truly it comes from being willing to notice, pay attention, be real with oneself, and then it's easy to be real with other people. It's an important way to live. because we're in a world now that is very divided.
Yeah.
And for us to be able to not be anxious or not be fearful, there has to be something greater happening inside than that for anyone to feel peace, no matter what seems to be occurring out here. And that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to understand our own self.
Yeah.
And that's
everything. Understanding ourselves in here makes everything else in life seem so much easier, because there is that.
Yeah, and that's what people came for.
Yeah.
And that's what they learned and really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't seen anyone who wasn't, we didn't meet anyone who wasn't, were really willing to do the work, the inner workings that were necessary.
Yeah.
For their own healing. And it was so, you know, healing can be just the surface, or it can be depth. Yeah. And it depends on the person or people.
Yes.
And the ones who came really wanted the depth.
Yeah.
And we did have it. And so they were blessed and graced, and we were as well, because that's how it works. Someone cannot be in their own inner life like the ones who came were, and not affect other people.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Just as we can be very affected by something that's harsh and in our surroundings.
Yeah.
And and we see the destruction of hurricanes or whatever happens in a lot of different places, floods, and we see that, you know, how do you recoup? How do you come home to yourself in those situations and have peace or stillness possible? You can't if you've never been in it before.
Right.
But you can if you have already been in that and understand where you can go, and that you actually can access when you've already been preparing yourself for that. It's different. It's very different.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's worth being in. It's really worth being in this life and understanding ourselves and inquiring within and learning, being present. You know, so much of the word you speak, even today, like, brings new information. It's like Nassim doing the paper and bringing new information on something that hasn't been known, but it's been present.
Yeah. I would say it's been known within, but it hasn't been scientifically proven.
Right. Right.
In a way that is equations that scale up, you know, really work beautifully. And it's a very different way to live. It's a new world. And that he's very aware of the equations to build that new world. And so we all need to be joining him, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Accepting that this is something we've all definitely worked toward. And you know, it's like Bucky Fuller and always, and I was so blessed to be able to go hear him speak in Pacific Beach. And just, I just love that man. He was so full of information.
Yes.
And goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we still are reading him and understanding what he brought us, and there are so many.
Yeah, there are.
You know, that
there are many.
It's such a blessing that we've had so many people in our lives who are filled with knowledge, but it's self-knowledge and wisdom. It's really wisdom and understanding life. Yeah. Through their own lives. And they live a different life because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's key. What you just said. It is. It's key. Yeah. It's having it in here and listening into the soul rhythm. But it comes from the inside.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's woohoo.
I mean, Sunday when we went to the fair,
yeah,
the people that were vendors were all very inspiring, and
yeah, they were.
They all love what they do, and yeah, it's such fun.
It is fun,
yeah. To meet and the aloha, the people in Hawaii are so just. It's amazing.
It is amazing
to feel the vibes in the air.
Yeah,
when you know they're all happy with their lives and
yeah,
sharing what they have as goods or services or whatever it is, and good food and
yes,
good fun,
good music.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, we have come to the end of the show.
All right.
Once again.
Yeah. Well, we liked our little silences. I hope you all took some little silences in your life at the same time.
Yeah. So, we will see you next Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, right here. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you.
And we will see you next week. Until then, aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose.
Join us again for life-affirming communication. Every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about Julie O
and JoJo Rose, visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.